Welcome to the EFM Morning Briefs podcast. My name is Wendy Mitchell. I'm thrilled to be your host this year. Today is sadly our final day of the podcast. But of course, there's a lot of festival and a lot of business still to come. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Ryan Natanzio, who is IndieWire's deputy editor of film and co-host of their Screen Talk podcast. Welcome, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me here. And I'm so happy to be the swan song person of the EFM podcast for 2025.
Yes, exactly. This is a very coveted position, Ryan. You're also coming in, although we've had a couple of American voices, including mine. There are more people based in Europe. So you're our true American voice, American independent voice coming in. I guess, what from the American, the U.S. industry point of view, how do you think the festival and market have been received so far? We know it's a lot still to come.
I'll preface my answer by saying that this is my first Berlin Film Festival, so I'm here with very unjaded eyes. Yeah, very much jaded eyes with respect to everything else in the industry, but also my first time in the city of Berlin. As a journalist, as an editor, I'm looking at it from the angle of reader engagement, which I think often is a way of taking the temperature of how these things are being perceived by the industry, by the real world. And it does seem like it's a more muted festival with a lot of films that I think are going to struggle to find distribution in the United States. Particularly the Tom Tykwer opening night film, The Light. That's a movie that I feel like is sort of destined to languish on the festival circuit and especially in Europe. Though I understand the reasons it was programmed. Obviously, you know, the national identity aspect of it. It's like there's always some Italian movies at Venice where I'm sort of like, I probably should have skipped that, but I understand why it was here. I don't know that that set the greatest tone, but there's been a number of movies like Dreams that I think are already igniting some conversation.
And that's the Michelle Franco Dreams.
Yes. Have you seen that?
I have. Yeah. Because there's also a Norwegian film called Dreams, brackets, Sex, Love. But yeah, the Michelle Franco has really got a lot of people talking, and I definitely think that one will travel the world.
I think so, yeah. That's one that I do see getting picked up out of this festival. But, and I know we were going to talk about this eventually, but it was a sort of a similar issue at Sundance where really the market is trickling very slowly out of that one.
Yeah, so, you know, does it feel... Why do you think things are slow? Is it the films? Is it a mood amongst the industry? I mean, we have to also mention the LA wildfires, which has just been a terrible start to the year. And the film industry in the US is still somewhat recovering from that, I guess, a little bit. Do you think that's impacted deal making? Or is it just maybe we'll see some deals coming through for some of these smaller titles in the coming weeks?
I do think that's... affecting deal-making. I do think there's a lot of tightening of belts overall, especially even with the streamers, where it's like you used to see Netflix buy a scad of documentaries out of Sundance or something, and that hasn't really happened this time. I believe they've only bought the one, The Perfect Neighbor. I haven't encountered a lot of American representatives for a lot of those distributors here at Berlin. So I don't know, just personally, I don't know how bustling that corner of the market is here in terms of who they send over, which that itself is expensive as well. But the other thing I'll say is that I think that, and hopefully this festival is kind of at the end of this, where we're still seeing residues from recovery from even the strikes. And so it was like, that really was a 1-2 punch of like, we kind of got through the strikes and then the wildfires happened. And that's certainly making for a depressed industry. But I think it's also, that's sort of created what has become this pipeline of movies that maybe people feel like are getting a more muted response.
Yeah. Just to be fair, I wanted to mention a few deals that have been done since yesterday's podcast or been announced. Level K has sold Sudden Outburst of Emotions and Dancing Queen in Hollywood. That latter film is a sequel to a Norwegian film that was a hit in Generation here a few years ago. So that's a great family film. Vision Distribution has sold its German drama, The Tasters, to dozens of territories. That actually sounds quite fun. Well, I don't know how fun, but it's about a group of women who were made to be the tasters of Hitler's food.
I don't know how fun that sounds.
I know, but I just think it could take a funny satirical look. I don't know. Emma Peel has sold the Chinese competition title, Living the Land, to Spain, Portugal, and Norway.
That is very praised. That has been very
I haven't seen that
beloved
one yet
by a lot of people. Me neither.
And Impium sold the Sundance winner Cactus Pears to Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. They also sold Night Courier to Switzerland and France. So those are a few sort of indie deals, both in the market and for a few festival titles. But yeah, Ryan, what would you say, just film-wise? I know you're also a critic. You've been seeing films for review. Sounds like you weren't enamored with the Tom Tykwer, and I think you're in the majority there. But what has struck out to you?
I mean, it has been more films striking out for me than sticking out. I don't know if you meant that that play on words or not.
Yeah, I don't think I did, but I'm glad you did it.
There's been a couple real disappointments, but actually the movie yesterday that is really kind of growing in my estimation, in my mind, is the Ice Tower, directed by... I'm never going to be able to say her
name.
Lucille H. But yeah. At one point I could say her last name, but okay. I currently cannot. So, which is, it's almost like a cinematic hypnosis. It's kind of got this ASMR quality. It's very soothing to the point where like I was kind of like thinking about nodding off a little bit just because I was very relaxed. It's gorgeous. The cinematography, which is done in CinemaScope framing, is really incredible. Again, art film only vibes, and a movie that I think will really struggle to carry over to the United States. I'm hoping that is the case, however. Another one today that I quite liked is called What Mariel Knows, which is about a young girl who begins to have telepathic powers where she can read her parents' thoughts and hear everything they're saying even when she's not in the room. It's a really interesting idea that the filmmaker does some unusual things with. And then there's one that, I think you've seen this one as well, that played at Sundance that I'm really into, which is If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. And that's one where, though it's played obviously in another festival, I do see that one winning some kind of a prize from the Todd Haynes jury, whether it's Best Actress Rose Byrne, like how we saw last year with Sebastian Stan, Different Man, that was Sundance, or even a directing prize for Mary Bronstein. I do see that one going far with this particular group.
Yeah, I would agree with you. That's quite a striking film. I love that you told me you've already seen it twice. It's that
kind
of film.
What does that say about me?
Yes. You've got a dark heart, Ryan.
I do.
But yeah, a lot of people here are talking about that film. Although I talked to one UK buyer who said, you know, I think this film is impeccable filmmaking, but it's so intense. I'm not sure so many audiences can handle it. So we'll see where that lands. But I don't think you can underestimate the power of that film. And I know that film will close some deals. Also, and like you said, the Michelle Franco film, again, not the easiest of watches, but I think certain distributors will jump when they're ready for those challenging films that audiences still want to see.
And to that buyer who says that he thinks that movie, or they say that movie might be too intense, I'm sure if the movie was led by a man, they probably would be praising it for being a high-octane thrill ride, right? Because nobody said that about Uncut Gems, which this movie isn't exactly that, but it does, it moves at a similar clip that is relentless, I would say.
Yeah, so we'll see how that shakes out. And yeah, if that buyer proves to be right or wrong with the British audiences, I'm sure that will stand the test of time. We'll see. So yeah, Ryan, this is your first Berlinale. You know, what have been your overall impressions just of how the festival is run for you as a journalist to navigate it and you know, who's here, the kinds of films that are here, the kinds of talents that are here?
I mean, it's a pretty impressive group this year, I would say. I know that in the past years with Carlo, it tend to be, especially in the competition, it tend to be tipped a little more toward the art house or experimental or anti-narrative, if you will, anti-entertainment in some ways, which those are all the movies that I really like too.
Okay.
So I'm not admonishing that genre or that kind of taste at all, but they're it being like the largest of the main festivals with 200 films, it being the only one that's also a public festival, you do need to think about the people a little bit and reaching them, especially if you want the festival to grow and you want there to be a more awareness of it in the United States, which is, you know, with Trisha coming from a journalism background, coming from the BFI London, like that is definitely a priority for her. And so I see that the effort that's being made this year. And I do think that will have fruitions that come out of it that will only make for a better festival the year after and the year after. Because you can't just program all these arcane titles, especially when you're selling tickets.
Fun fact for you, both Trisha Tuttle and I grew up in North Carolina. So a lot of people think she is British. She's lived in the UK, I think, for 25 or 30 years, but she's American herself. And, you know, just to mention on her programming team, Jacqueline Leonga, who's an amazing programmer from the US. And yeah, I think they are definitely maybe more open to some of those audience films as well. Like you said, it's a huge public audience festival here, too.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes for a really different vibe than something like Cannes or, yeah, Sundance, there is public access, but it's pretty rarefied. It's not affordable, and that's not an affordable place to be or to visit. And I know I keep going back to Sundance, but it's only because I was just there a few weeks ago. To be amongst the people at this festival, it makes for a different energy that I actually appreciate. And it can make you feel like you are part of the city a little bit more, whereas when you're in Cannes or something, you don't even feel like you're in France. You're nowhere.
Yeah. Unless you see a woman carrying her small dog into the Chanel store, you know, that's not really the people who are seeing. It's not the great public. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to check back in with you, I think, year to year and see as you keep coming back to Berlin and as Trisha and team's program keeps shifting, we'll see if this first impression lingers and how your impressions of Berlin change with the years. But welcome to Berlinale.
Thank you, Wendy. Thanks so much for having me.
So as we said, this might be our last episode of EFM Morning Briefs, but this festival is certainly not over. This market still has some fun activities going on. For today, so if you're listening on Tuesday, the Berlinale Series Market is still in full swing. Today at 3 p.m. at the Cinemax is a session called Freedom or Pitfall, the Future of Independent Producing, looking at the evolving role of the producer in series, you know, how they're managing this changing role between independence and distribution and financing, and how both sides can strike a balance between artistic freedom and commercial viability, because we want both, don't we? Today, the EFM shines a light on archives and archival research with the Archive Market. This is in Cafe Connect at the Documentation Center. Representatives of international footage libraries present their archives. That's 19 of them globally. And EFM participants will be able to discover those collections and even discuss specific projects. The Archive Market will also include two archive-related panels in Cafe Connect, and then there's an archive panel in the main part of Documentation Center at 5 p.m., and that is called Archival Filmmaking, Dismantling the Construction of the Past. And then, of course, we're not done with Tuesday. On Wednesday, back at the Documentation Center will be the Talents Labs presentations from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Really diverse set of projects being presented from the Talents Labs. There's different participants from Script Station, Short Film Station, and Doc Station. And at the Gropius Bau on Wednesday, oh, this is so fun. There's going to be a Teddy Talk at 3 p.m. on queer creations, followed by a pitching event called Queer Your Program, when 30 filmmakers get up and each do a 2-minute pitch. I love those kind of events. So go please check that out. Until we see each other in Berlin again next year, I wanted to remind you that EFM also has their year-round podcast, EFM Industry Insights. So check back on a sort of more in-depth look. There'll be another one next month released. And really a huge thanks to the whole team that makes these podcasts possible. I want to give a shout out to our audio engineer and editor, Titus, to Manu and Ida from the EFM team. And thank you to all the journalists who joined us. And thanks to everybody who listened. It really feels like I was out and about and hearing a lot of people listening to this. And that is great to feel like we're a part of this community. And reminding you all, these six journalists we've talked to are still covering the market. All these publications. Read them in the next few weeks for all the deals that are going to be done at the end of this festival. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have a great rest of your festival and your EFM.